everybody. It's been a while since we've been here, but welcome to the Game Tyrant Show. I'm your boy, Jay Dubious, and I'm joined by our lovely writer, Mr. Jesse Bartel of GeekTyrant.com. How you doing, Jesse?
Wait, this is not the ICP podcast?
No, this is not the ICP podcast, Jesse.
I can talk about video games, too, but...
Yeah, that's in the next room. We don't do that type of stuff here.
The Hatchet is family, man.
Oh, Lord. You've got some serious issues that we need to work out, okay? Yeah, so we got a lot of things to talk about this week. We know it's been a freaking while since we've been here. Honestly, we were going to have a show last week, but we had some technical difficulties with some audio, and we could not get that show out to you lovely people. So we are back here this week, and it's been a while. I don't think we've been here since right before the end of the year.
Somewhere in December.
And a lot of things to happen, good and bad. Jesse has been, doing some college stuff.
That's right.
I've been doing some work stuff, and we've been all playing video games. This week, we're going to talk about many things, all about the closings at various studios. We're going to talk about, The Cave that came out on Steam and Xbox Live and PSN. We're going to talk about some lovely superhero MMOs. We're going to talk about a Batman Arkham Asylum movie. We're going to talk about some GameStop news. And you're probably thinking, what the hell do you want to talk about GameStop for? Yeah, what the hell is GameStop going to do as we enter this new generation of consoles and shit? So we're going to talk about that, and that's about it. So let's just go in and hop into the show this week. Jesse, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right.
You doing great?
I'm hanging.
Feeling good?
I'm feeling good.
Well, like always, what have you been playing this week?
Well, I was lucky enough to finish Darksiders 2 recently.
Really? How'd you like that, man?
I really liked it. I liked how it ended, and I liked... all the way through, although the final boss is way too easy compared to the other stuff in the game, which is kind of disappointing.
Is it crazy that I have that game literally sitting on my coffee table, and I think I've played through half of it, and haven't felt compelled to go finish it? Should I go finish it?
If you haven't felt compelled by the first half, you will not feel compelled by the second half.
You know what it actually was? It was so many different games... Mm-hmm. have come out that, you know, I would get like a new game in the review or just that I wanted to play or whatever, that it just got pushed to the side. So that's just pretty much what happened. But yeah, I mean, I pretty much liked it. I always compare it to like a Gears of War meets Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Just gameplay wise.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you like so much about it though?
I like that style of game, like that Zelda game. I've kind of grown out of Zelda games for a few reasons, not because I think it's for kids, it's just me and Nintendo don't get along as much anymore.
What, you don't want to re-experience A Link to the Past right now?
I'm sorry, man. Sorry, I can't play it again.
I don't really think that many people like Link to the Past, but anyway.
It's alright. But I like that style of gameplay, but the way the Darksiders presents like that sort of comic book Armageddon aesthetic, I really like that. I think it's a cool little, you know, Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, that kind of stuff. It's, you know, it's like a grown-up version of Zelda, I guess, and I like it.
Okay.
I'm
with that.
Yeah. So, and what else? I started playing Red Dead Redemption again, just for funsies.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying it, you know.
Exploring the western countryside.
Yeah, you know, cutting up coyotes, shooting birds, you know.
All right.
Doing what I do. And I also played The Cave, but we'll talk about that later.
So. All right. As for me, what the hell have I been playing this week? I've been playing a lot of Smite. I'm really liking that Smite. You know what I like? They tend to have long matches. The matches tend to be around, I would say, 30 minutes, at least for the Conquest modes. If you're playing like Arena or something like that, it could be a little shorter, like around 15 minutes or so. And I like that because I could just say, okay, I want to play one quick game of Smite, and then I know I'm done. It's not like I'm playing a quick match of Call of Duty, which is over in like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good long match of, you know, just trying to outwit the other team, trying to take down their towers, trying to get to the other side, and it takes a lot of teamwork. So I kind of like the aspect of it. And I think part of it's also because I've been watching a lot of the Twitch streams from Hi-Rez Bart, who is one of their... I think he's their social media director or something like that, but he does a lot of streams, and he's always really funny and everything, and they're releasing new things. They actually just came into open beta, so if anybody wants to play the game, go head over to Smite's website. You can download it right now if you want to check it out. Outside
and it's free
of
to
that,
play.
Yes, that's free to play. Totally free to play. The only thing you're paying for, if anything, is if you want to, I guess, unlock any of the gods early, which you can pay like $30 to just, it like unlocks everything at a time. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you have to, I guess, wait till you build up the in-game currency, which can take a rather long time. So, that's, I guess that's how they're getting people right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's how they work.
But that's most free-to-play games. And mm-hmm. we're actually going to talk about that a little bit more when we get into the superhero MMOs. What else have I been playing lately? I was playing a little bit of what the hell is it? Mirror's Edge.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, you know, I downloaded it a while back for Steam. I just now got around to playing it, so I've been playing a little bit of that. What else? I'm about to start getting into Hitman Absolution a little bit more.
I've heard mixed things on it.
I'm a newbie to the whole Hitman franchise. Mm-hmm. I know about it. I just never felt compelled to play it. But you know, you can't pass up good Steam deals sometimes, so
yeah.
They had a pretty good sale over the weekend, so I had to pick that up. And of course I've been playing a lot of Devil May Cry, so I'm about the 11th stage in right now, and I don't even know how far this goes, but it's really good story, great graphics, really freaking trippy, I tell you that much. It almost makes you feel like you're high or something.
That's what we like.
But and I'm a newbie to that franchise as well, but I know about the franchise, and Ninja Theory did a great job on revamping this franchise, and I'm very eager to see what else they have coming up. And we're actually going to have some music for them later on in the podcast for everybody to check out from the lovely game. So you can listen to that. And that's about it for this week. You know, when we get off this lovely podcast, I'm probably going to get back to playing some DC Universe Online. They just put out some new DLC, and probably some more Black Ops, because they put out some DLC today as well. So
nice.
Yeah. That's about it for this week. Now we're gonna head into a new segment called the News Bits with Mr. Jesse Bartel. He has the hard-hitting news.
That's right.
Let me do my announcer voice. And now we're gonna present News Bits with Jesse Bartel. And here's Jesse.
All right. Here we go. Let's see. THQ sold off its assets. I don't know about you guys, but THQ has been having a hard whole year. They've been going through a lot of closing down things.
Hell of a hard year.
Yes. And then they finally, you know, they did the Chapter 11. Yes.
Yeah.
That's bankruptcy, right?
Do you remember they did that that holiday sale? They were like really. It was like their last effort.
It was like $5 and you get all our games or something.
Yeah, every goddamn game we had. And I bought the shit too because I wanted to get some of the old stuff. But that didn't even, you know, take a chunk out of anything.
Well,
it was funny. I just saw a tweet, I think yesterday. I forgot which developer it was. It was the one that worked on Saints Row. Who was that? Violation, I believe?
Yeah, Volition, yeah.
Volition? Oh, mm-hmm. Sorry. It was somebody from there, and he was like, the caption was like, I had to go get one of my toys before they closed down the doors, and he's walking out with that big, giant purple dildo. So that was pretty funny.
Their head's in the right place about it, I hope, you know?
Yeah. At least a lot of them got picked up.
Yes.
By other companies.
But,
except for the Darksiders people.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, Darksiders got picked up.
Oh, they finally got picked up?
They got picked up by Platinum Games.
Oh, that's right. That's
yes.
right. I did hear about that. Okay,
yep.
Okay.
So they've had a tough year, and they finally sold. It's pretty sad, because they've been around for, like, ever. So let's see. This is what we got so far. Sega bought Relic, and Relic is known for doing the Warhammer games.
Okay.
Ubisoft bought up THQ Montreal, and
that
they did.
That kind of makes sense.
They did the South Park stuff. Take-Two, Take-Two bought up Turtle Rock Studios. I don't know what they developed, though, so I don't know.
I have no freaking clue either.
Okay.
We probably know the games they did, but yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't really heard the studio that much.
Okay, and then Koch Media, which owns Deep Silver, and Deep Silver made Dead Island.
Dead Island.
Yeah.
Riptide coming out soon, people.
They actually bought Volition up. So they're going to be taking care of the Saints Row franchise, so I don't know.
Okay, that's going to be great, because I thought my Saints Row would be dead, and I cannot have that.
And the one that's kind of puzzling is Crytek bought Homefront, so...
You know, that's not that puzzling, being that, you know, Crytek is more focused on shooters,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, of course they're going to have Crysis 3 coming out soon. Homefront was a great game. Did you ever get around to playing Homefront, Jesse?
No.
It was a great game. Could it have been better? Oh, hell yes. But it was definitely a different take, in my opinion, on a FPS game. The multiplayer was definitely a big, wide-scale, damn near as big as Battlefront, but kind of with a fast pace of Call of Duty. Because I always... The thing about Battlefront... Not Battlefront. Why did I say Battlefront? Good Lord.
Battlefield.
We're not playing Star Wars Battlefront, people.
You should be.
Battlefield. The thing about Battlefield, it's great games, great graphics, everything, but I always feel like it's boring as hell after a while because it's such a big map and it's mm-hmm. such a slow pace. That's, some people may like that, and yes, it takes teamwork, but some people also just want to get in and shoot stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what I kind of liked about Homefront as well. It kind of took... What was that movie that Bond with...
Red Dawn?
With Chris Hemsworth?
No, wait, what?
Red Dawn?
Yeah, Red Dawn. Chris Hemsworth and Red Dawn. Yeah, the remake.
It's basically Red Dawn in a video game, to be quite honest with you. But it's pretty great. It's better than the movie, I'll tell you that much. Probably make more money than the movie, too. Yeah, so I think they'll be good.
So yeah, so I think that was, and then I said who, Darksiders franchise was bought up by Platinum Games, so great. They did like Bayonetta and things like that.
That kind of seems fitting.
Yeah, it could be good. It's just that the Platinum Games is a Japanese company and Darksiders is an American game, and I'm wondering if the same sort of that same style will cross over. And I don't
but,
know.
But, you know, Darksiders 2 didn't really do that well compared to the first one. It mm-hmm. was kind of viewed as a failure. So, I mean, let's hope they put out another Darksiders and maybe they can redeem themselves. Maybe they can revamp it a little bit. I don't know what they can really do, but
yeah. We'll see. I mean, as a fanboy, I want another Darksiders, but it's just, I'm just confused maybe as to how they'll keep the style or the feel of the game. You know, their games are so weird feeling.
You know, either way, we're probably not getting another Darksiders game, at least for 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, with these new systems coming out and everything, that I don't see that coming down the pipeline anytime soon unless they really try to fast-track that.
Yeah, so that's that. Okay.
All right.
Moving on. Disney closed the Epic Mickey Studio, which was Junction
Yikes.
Point. Yeah. So that was Warren Spector's business. And, so Epic Mickey 2 did poorly. It was received poorly critically, and it didn't make any money. So then they decided...
I actually forgot the damn thing even came out.
Yeah, it didn't do well. And the first one got a lot of huge mixed response. So now with the failure of the second one, they just decided to close it and not make any more, which, you know, I think they were doing some really cool stuff with that series, but they just ended up just...
It was definitely a different take on Mickey, and I was happy to see that Mickey was... You know, getting that different take done on him, but maybe it was marketing. I don't know. The game looked beautiful from what I saw, at least.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of times these games come out, just like, you know, when movies and music projects go sour, they don't have proper marketing, and a lot of times games don't get proper marketing either and get the true shine they need to get. So,
and I don't think I think the one that came out on the Wii U was, like, almost, like, kind of broken, so.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So that didn't
that
help
just
matters
because
that was like a launch title, and it was supposed to
exactly.
be this big co-op with the tablet and everything, and it just kind of didn't work out. So that's
don't even get me started on the Wii U because that yeah whatever.
We have to wait a full year before we can actually see its potential, I guess.
But. Exactly. I mean, I guess you could say that for all these systems, but I just don't think Xbox and PlayStation are going to be like that when they release later this year.
No,
time will tell.
Totally different system, but Sony and Microsoft have created ecosystems with their systems, and Nintendo did not, and that's what's...
Well, Nintendo needs to revamp their whole freaking online offering.
Yeah.
They're trying to do that with the Wii U and everything, but it will never be close to what, Xbox Live and PSN are today. And I don't know what they're going to have to do to get that going, but that should have been done... like tenfold before they even released the Wii U. They probably could have waited another year to put out the Wii U, if you ask me.
It's just that they don't know how to use the internet correctly or something. It's just
they still use IE.
Yeah.
We're on Chrome, they're on IE.
Those are their choice browsers.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of my favorite games of last year, Journey, got a ton of awards at DICE this year, and I just wanted to say that because I think they cleaned up like 11. So the big thing I like to talk about Journey is that this is like the year of the indie games winning for once.
Yeah.
like you had The Walking Dead and you had Journey, and they both did like really well in so many
ways. The Walking Dead.
Yeah. So it's good, you know. It's nice to see some games that have a lot of thought put into them get attention, and you know.
And I think we're going to see more indie games get some more shine, especially with the release of these new consoles that are coming out, like the Game Stick that's currently about to get out of its Kickstarter later this week. And if you haven't contributed to that, I suggest you go do it right now, because they've had some great packages. I've already contributed, and I just really can't wait, because it's like every couple days they have a new update that they're updating on the Kickstarter. They're taking in, you know, feedback from everybody. Like, everybody's leaving all types of great things they want to see in the console and what they want to see happen, and they're pumping this stuff out. They're like, okay, we listened to this and now we're making it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that quick of changes. And right now that's slated to come out in April of 2013. And you got the Ouya system. I always don't know if I'm saying that right. Ouya. It's Ouya.
Yeah.
Whatever. That one, I believe some of the units have already been shipped out to some developers and whatnot, and mm-hmm. people who bought that package on the Kickstarter. But that's probably coming out around the same time as the Game Stick. But both of these systems are based on the Android platform. Both are going to be great for all the indie game developers that are already on PSN, already on Xbox Live, to port their games over to these new platforms. And then us, the consumers, can play this stuff wherever we go. You go to your parents' house, you don't feel like lugging that Xbox with you, but want to play some games to free up some time, you know, slap this in your pocket and you start to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this might be the continuation of the year of the indie. We're going to see a big shift. It's not just going to be the big players like Sony and Microsoft doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I could be wrong, but let's hope not.
And the last little bit of funny news, the Czech developers who made Arma, that sort of realistic military shooter, and the one that has
go ahead.
Oh, okay, sorry. And it has the DayZ mod. They got arrested like 100 or so days ago in Greece, because they're at military bases and they're taking pictures of things to to put in their new game, because they wanted.
So they didn't get arrested for putting out a shitty zombie game?
No, they got arrested for.
Oh, damn. I'm sorry. I may be the only person in the world who doesn't like DayZ, but yeah, it's fucking shitty. I could care less about it.
But
I looked at it. The graphics suck. What the fuck?
So yeah, they got arrested, and then they've been finally released from jail. And I don't know what their next game's gonna be, but I thought it was pretty funny. I like it when video games make international news, because it's really funny to see that.
I think we should arrest people who put out shitty games. Let's just do that.
Yeah.
Who would be the first winner of that? I don't know.
Ooh, who put out a bad game?
What's been a really bad game this past year? I don't know.
We'll
have to get back to you people on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I've only played pretty much decent games.
I know, right? Semi-decent ones, at least. You know what? I could say some downloadable titles have been a little shitty.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't too in love with that Double Dragon remake.
Oh, I liked it.
It was okay,
mm-hmm.
but it's a downloadable title, so I can't really hold that much against it. it got the nostalgia, you know, running. I was loving that part of it, but after a while, I was like, okay, I'm done with this. It's the same thing over and over again. All right, okay, whatever.
That's the problem. It runs. It's just like emulating an old game so much that it's actually just like an old game where you just do the same thing over and over again.
They need to do a Final Fight remake.
Hell yeah,
Final Fight in Killer Instinct. Oh my god, if they put out a Killer Instinct, I think that would probably be Game of the Year right now.
They've been talking about doing a Killer Instinct game.
Nintendo,
for years.
You better get on that. I'm just saying, that should have been a launch title.
All
for
these
that
great
Wii U.
Properties down the tubes.
It really is. And on that note, we're going to take a really quick music break. As I mentioned earlier, music this week is coming from the hit game Devil May Cry. This particular track is called Crush Him. Alright, now the entire music of the game is made by this group called Noisia. I believe I'm saying that correct. They're a drum and bass trio based out of the Netherlands that they produce all different types of styles and whatnot, you know, including break music and house music. And this music is coming from our lovely friends at Division Recordings. Again, you listen to Devil May Cry. This is Crush Him. You're listening to the Game Timer Show. We'll be right back. right, guys, welcome back to the Game Tyrant Show. Now we're going to get into a little bit of a review time and a little bit of news about some MMOs. But first with the review, Jesse, you recently did a review on The Cave. Now, The Cave, who was that made by again? Do you remember?
Yes. Well, it was developed by Double Fine Productions. But the main dude behind this one was Ron Gilbert. Ron Gilbert is the guy behind The Tales from Monkey Island and Maniac Mansion.
Both great games, and a lot of people like those games.
Yes, okay. It's old games, and everyone loves them. I mean, when you talk about Double Fine, everyone talks about Tim Schafer.
Right.
But this one was done primarily by Ron Gilbert. This is his idea that he's had for quite a while.
So what type of game is it exactly?
It's an adventure. It's an adventure puzzle game.
Adventure puzzle game.
Yeah. See, the thing is that he's used to big on like the point and click adventure games. You know, where you go onto a screen, you click around, and you figure out puzzles.
Pretty much The Walking Dead.
Yeah, like that. Any Telltale game. But this one, he wanted to do more stuff with moving characters around and interacting with the environment, which I think might have been a bad idea for him. But
now, from what I saw, it looked like it was like a side scroller type of game. Am I correct in that?
Yeah.
So did you like that? Was it good to take that back? Because the last side scroller I played was Shadow Complex on Xbox Live, and that was just great. I didn't think I would like it as much as I did. I think I bought it because it was on sale at that time, and it probably still is my favorite Xbox Live downloadable title. And I think they're working on a new one for the new system, I believe. That's been a rumor. Hopefully so. But how did you like the side scroller?
That part didn't bother me at all. I mean, I think it's cool, and there's a lot I do like about The Cave. It's very funny. The writing's really good, and the environments are nice.
Right.
It's just that there's a lot of backtracking involved with the game. So So the idea is that you pick out three characters in the beginning, and then you move your way through the level, and there are three different levels that are for particular characters that you choose. There's seven characters to choose in the beginning, and you pick three of those. So throughout, you go through the cave, it transforms and it goes into whatever your character is. And then you have to figure out puzzles. And I have no problem with the puzzle solving and all that, but a lot of the puzzles require you to go from one end of the map all the way back to the other end of the map. And you have to do it like...
For no reason.
When there shouldn't...
Can I get like a warp tunnel or something?
Yeah, it's like they literally want you... You go to the end and you find you need an item that's all the way back at the end, and you go back there and you bring it back, and it's like, oh, you need another item to go with this one, and it's all the way back where you started again. And it's very frustrating and very unnecessary. Half the puzzles felt like they didn't, like he just put the items as far away as possible just because, and it's really aggravating. And
so like that didn't really like add to the adventure of the game at all or anything. It's just some tedious crap of me walking back and forth until you get the job done.
Yeah, and like I like the puzzles. I thought the puzzles were like clever, and some of them were like frustrating in a good way. But there was just too much unnecessary like steps that he created for you to do that, and it just really prevented me from completely enjoying all the stuff that's great about it. And
is it safe to say that the only thing that kept you going was the story? Like you wanted to see what the story amounted to?
Yeah, definitely. Like the idea of the cave is it's a tale of like morality. So these characters each have like a backstory, and through these puzzles you discover how their history, and they're all like there's this one character you can pick that are twins, and they hold each other's hands and they run through the level, but it turns out that they like poison their mom and dad to kill them.
Badass little kids. Yeah. Hell wrong with them.
So like, so like all that stuff is really funny and interesting, and it's just witty, but there's just a lot of the gameplay that's just wanted to like just throw my controllers, like pointless right now.
Give us a star rating. What was the star rating?
I gave it 3 out of 5.
All right.
I think if you're a fan of those kinds of games, that is adventure games, puzzle games, you'll like most of it. And it's funny enough to play through, and it's only like 3 hours long. And they want you to go back and play with the other characters to find out their stories, but I didn't really feel compelled to go back again because it was just...
Would you say it's worth the money?
Yes. I think it's only $8.
Okay.
And I would say, yeah, it's definitely worth $8. It's just... there's a lot there preventing me from really loving it. So
I hear you.
Yeah.
The replay value is probably really low too. So
yeah, I mean,
if you're really cheap people, wait about a month, it'll probably get a little cheaper, like to $5.
And I would play it on PC.
No, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, playing with a controller was fine and everything, but I think it feels like a PC game.
Okay.
So.
All right. So now we're gonna go ahead and hop out to some news about MMOs. Now, to the lovely people listening and the people who may have, you know, seen things I've written on the site, I love the game DC Universe Online. Love it, love it, love it. I started playing it before it even went to free to play. And then I, you know, stopped paying for it, and, you know, I think I fell out of love with it for about a half of a year to a full year, and recently got back into it, I think, since, like, last September. And I've been loving it ever since. But they just put out a great new patch today, or a great new DLC today, called Home Turf. Basically, what Home Turf does is it's giving you, the player, your own lair. So just like Batman has a Batcave and Superman has the Fortress of Solitude, you can have your own freaking lair that people can even come in and bash their way in and fight you in your lair.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's badass.
So it's just adding a new level of just greatness to this game, and it just goes to show you how much... Sony Online Entertainment, how much they're really putting into this game. Like, everybody thought that when it went to free-to-play, it was the nail in the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still putting out, you know, massive amounts of content and more updates and always doing fixes, and their developers always doing webcasts. Like, they're really putting all their effort into this game, much more than I can say for a lot of past, you know, SOE titles.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot more love for it now than there was when it first came out.
I'm going to say the same. And, you know, there's a lot more people still playing on PS3 as well. I didn't know how big the PS3 base was, but there's a lot of people that play this game on PS3. Me, personally, I can't really play with a controller, but that's just me. I like playing it with a keyboard.
I played it for a little bit on PS3. It was all right.
Yeah, I think I downloaded it just to see what it would feel like on the PS3, but I didn't go too far with it on there. I mainly play on PC. So, yeah, if you... You can also buy, you know, extra add-ons like deeds, which will give you access to like two lairs. Like, let's say you want a lair that's in Metropolis and one that's in Gotham City, and maybe you want a lair that's near the water and one another lair that's, you know, near one of the clubs. You can do that, but you just have to pay for it a little bit, you know, with either some station cash or just forking out some of your own money. If you were smart and you would have purchased some of the great deals they had around the holidays, which was like you would buy like $5 of station cash and get like, I don't know, three times its worth almost. Mm-hmm. So I think I have a bunch of that racked up already. So now the next competitor that's going to be coming out the gates to go against DC Universe Online, no, we're not talking about Star Wars The Old Republic. Although they are a competitor, we're not talking about them. We're talking about the Marvel Heroes game. So, have you heard about Marvel Heroes, Jesse?
Kind of. I don't really know much about it.
So, Marvel Heroes, at least to me, when I watched the trailers and everything, it reminds me of, what the hell's the name of the game? Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Oh, okay.
Remember that game?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a top-down type of game.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people compared it to like a superhero Diablo or something like that. They had two great games. The storylines on both the games I loved. At first, I didn't think I would like that type of game, that total top-down perspective and anything, but, you know, you quickly get used to it. This MMO is just like that. But the difference between this and DC Universe Online is that you're not creating your own character. You're taking the form of one of the iconic characters, whether it be Black Widow, Iron Man, you know, Spider-Man, the Hulk, Captain America, Wolverine, whoever the hell it may be. You're taking on the identity of them. Now, how that really plays out, I don't know exactly yet because I'm not in the beta yet. What the hell is wrong with you, Marvel? Give me beta access. But they do have a great Founders program going on right now, so I just wanted to, you know, mention this in the show because all you lovely Marvel fans that, you know, love the Avengers, love all the games they put out. I mean, well, let me take that back. They haven't put out the greatest games. I think their best game was that Captain America game, that movie tie-in game.
Oh,
and that's not saying much.
It had like that Arkham Asylum combat in it, kind of, right?
Yeah, that's really not saying much. That Captain America game was not the greatest. The Thor game sucked immensely. The Iron Man game they had,
that was terrible.
It was so terrible.
It was so bad.
I think they who made those? Sega?
Sega published them, I think. I don't know.
I know they dropped them. I know that much. I know Marvel dropped Sega because of those games. So. Yeah, so this is not made by Sega. Don't worry, people. This is made by Gazillion Entertainment. you know, of course, you know, working hand in hand with Marvel people. So this is going to be a total free-to-play game as well. And you can get access to the Founders Program right now. And the Founders Program is going to give you access to either a set of heroes. Like they have a, what is it? I'm looking at it right now. They have a starter pack, a premium pack, an ultimate pack. And each one of these different packs give you a set of certain heroes. Now, of course, you go to the ultimate pack, which is $199, which is just kind of crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives you access to all the heroes, all the costumes for the heroes, gives you $50 of in-game currency, gives you some bonus currency on top of that, which is $45 worth. You get a week of early access to the game. You get three exclusive costumes, some enhanced costumes, some permanent XP boosts. You know, it's good perks, but $200? Like, you only put out $200 for a free-to-play game?
That was like what they did Star Trek game. Well, not they didn't do it, but when the Star Trek game came out, the MMO, they did like $200 and you get all the everything forever and you don't have to pay ever again.
I mean, that's great and all, but it's a free-to-play game.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, they're better off going the route of a DC Universe Online and doing doing little packs that are much smaller in price, but that people are going to buy more of, and it's going to probably end up equaling the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have your diehard Marvel fans, and, you know, I think both of us on this podcast are diehard Marvel fans, but I don't know if I'm going to shell that kind of money just yet. But here's the plus side for all you people that are thinking about buying it right now. You buy any of these packs right now, you get access to the open beta. Not the open beta, I'm sorry, the closed beta. And the closed beta, I don't believe, will be around for that much longer. Maybe another week or two, maybe 2 weeks, I'm not sure. So if you want to get it right now, go get those. But so the starter pack is $20, premium pack is $60. You know, that's up to you. Just go to marvelheroes.com and check that out. And with that, we're going to take another quick break. Get back into some music from DMC, Devil May Cry. But, you know, that Marvel stuff, it did give way to what we're going to talk about next, which is some more superhero stuff, which is the Batman movie that may be based on Arkham Asylum. Boom. So right now, I want you guys to listen to Mass Recall off the Devil May Cry soundtrack. And we will be right back. You're listening to The Game Tyrant Show. So, like I previously mentioned, we were just talking about superheroes galore. We're going to talk about some more, specifically Batman. Batman! You know, not Burt Ward and Adam West. No, we're not talking about them, although he is great on Family Guy. We're talking about the Arkham Asylum game, and could it possibly be turning into a Batman movie? Now, I heard a rumor earlier this week that the next Batman movie is not even coming out until maybe, I think they said 2016 or 2017. That's ways away, which is understandable because this last trilogy did great numbers and it was a great reimagining of our beloved Caped Crusader.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they want to, you know, pull from the Arkham Asylum game, I don't know if that's a great choice. Maybe the second game, but definitely not the first one when, you know, the Joker gets all super steroid enriched and goes berserk on people. And if you haven't finished the game, well then, spoiler alert, whatever. but yeah, I hope they don't do that. But basically, Warner Bros. Has bought a whole bunch of domains. Arkham Universe, Batman Arkham Universe.com, Batman Arkham Arises.com, Batman Arkham Begins.com, Batman Arkham Dark Knight.com. I mean, the list goes on. So who knows what this game is going to be? Now, the consensus of all these different URLs they're buying is that it's a universe type of game, it's a Legends type of game, Origins type of game. It kind of all those different names kind of it means wider to me. It means more of a open landscape of the universe that Batman lives in with the Justice League and everybody. So that's always been a rumor that the next game we might see Superman come in, we might see Wonder Woman pop in. I mean, we already saw Catwoman pop in the last game and Robin popped in the last game. Didn't you not love Robin and popped in the last game?
Yeah, and Nightwing. Nightwing was in the DLC.
He was in that DLC for like that arena thing.
Challenge.
See, that's the thing I really hated about the Arkham City was the fact that we couldn't really play as them in the game. Like, I would have loved to this like switch to the perspective of Robin or Nightwing or whoever it may be, the same way we did for Catwoman and play their part of the story.
Because I think the Catwoman stuff was really well done.
It was great, and it definitely added to the overall game. But at the same token, if you didn't have that bit of DLC, did it really affect the overall game? Not too much, because I think they worked out ways that if you didn't have that DLC, the story still would have worked for you. But yeah, I was really kind of hoping that. So hopefully this new game and new movie will have more of that. I mean, for all we know, all these new URLs could just be of the game, but they could potentially be of the movie as well. Now, the original rumor of the Arkham City sequel would be that it would be set in the Silver Age. The Silver Age of DC Comics was like from 1956 to around 1970, I believe. And that's when he first teamed up with Superman, the Flash, and they made the Justice League of America and everything. Now, will they take that old, I guess, version of Justice League comics and everything? I doubt that, Jesse. What do you think? I don't know. I highly doubt that. I mean, even these games were pretty modern. I mean, it didn't seem like futuristic, but
no, it seemed modern. They were serious, like late 80s, early 90s Batman comic book.
It definitely didn't seem like that. Like the Spider-Man game. What was it like? Was it Web of Shadows? And they had another one.
Yeah,
Shadow Dimensions.
Yeah, Shadow Dimensions.
Where they were they had like Spider-Man Noir, and it's like all old school looking, which is great and all, but I don't feel like playing the whole game of that.
Yeah, it's.
But go ahead.
They have to if we're talking about a movie, they're gonna have to do something different than what Nolan did. Because if they try to keep it as serious as he did, then everyone's just going to say, oh, they're just imitating Batman or something.
You know what? I'm fine with that, though. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should forget what Nolan did. No. I think that should be cemented in the whole universe.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that Nolan is working with the people, with Zack Snyder and everybody on the Superman movie, that should all... I think it should all be incorporated. Now, we all have our varying views of the ending of Batman Dark Knight Rises. Is he really dead or is he not? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been speculation that last scene. If you haven't seen the movie, then I'm sorry for you still. what are you doing with your life, really?
Yeah. Not a Batman fan.
You fucked up. But, that last scene when we see him sitting at the cafe and Alfred seeing him, is that Alfred's mind or is it really Bruce there with Selina Kyle? We don't know. But I in my world, I think he's still alive. He's taking a little,
I agree.
Hiatus real quick, The man broke his back, goddammit. Can't you take a break? Shit. Let little boy want to do some work while he's out taking a break.
JGL.
JGL. I do want to see JGL don some costume. I don't know what.
I don't know. I like JGL. He's good.
I like him. I just don't want him to go straight into Robin. I could see him going straight into Nightwing, of course, but who knows. But yeah. Let's all hope for the best. Let's hope it's a new... all those URLs are really just for the new game and not for some weird Arkham Asylum movie. I'd much rather be for the game. And I have a good feeling. This is my hunch that we'll probably hear something about some Arkham-related game after these new systems come out later this year.
Probably, yeah.
I have nothing to go off with that, but it's just my hunch. And if that happens, I'm going to cite this freaking podcast episode because... I'm like, I said it first.
I told y'all.
I said it. I told all y'all. Y'all didn't listen to me. But speaking of new age stuff, like those new lovely systems, the Orbis and the Durango from, you know, Sony and Microsoft, let's talk about GameStop for a minute. Jesse, when's the last time you've been to GameStop?
Wow. Actually, really, pretty recently.
It's been that long?
Actually, pretty recently, kind of. Yeah. I had to go visit someone, and there was a GameStop nearby, so I was like, oh, I'm going to go in there and see what's up. And I walked in
there.
But
did you buy something?
No, not at all.
See, that's the thing.
I'm not crazy.
I don't get it. Like, so many people don't like shopping in GameStop these days. I don't really get what it is. And they haven't really been hitting their numbers that they projected a while back. And I think GameStop is just now starting to realize that, hey, guys, this whole brick-and-mortar store thing, it's not going to last forever, especially with these new systems coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, with that said, I was just reading an article on GameSutra.com. where they were talking to, who is it, Brad Scheisler? I think I say the name right. He's the director of digital content for GameStop. And to sum it up, basically he said their outlook on the industry and on their company right now is that they want to focus more on digital content. That they've been making a lot of money on selling people DLC packs. Now, if any of you guys have bought a Black Ops 2 on release days, or even before that, or Mass Effect, or Halo, whatever, you know that they were selling you season passes, they're pushing out content like crazy, trying to get you to buy that content along with the game. That's more money for them, which of course does get passed on to the, you know, the developers and everybody, and the publishers. But that's apparently is their biggest concern right now. It's going, how do they go digital? Do you what are your ideas, Jesse? Do you think they can really sustain this after these new systems come out? Because I think these two new systems that are coming out are not going to be as much. Of course, we're going to have discs. At least I hope we're going to have discs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that as the new OSs for both of those systems come out, it's going to be a lot more digitally focused to get your content. Because a lot of times these games like Black Ops and everything else, you don't have to go to GameStop to buy the shit. You can buy the season pass right through Microsoft or
buy
PSN.
Day one.
Yeah.
On PSN.
So, how is GameStop going to live?
It's not going to live. That's the problem. They're just going to they're going to die. They're not going to die as a whole. They're going to, you know, they'll still have their website and they'll probably ship out games, you know, through the website, through warehouses and everything, but there's going to be no real reason to have all that overhead, you know, for the business.
But you don't think people are still going to want to, I guess, return and, not return games, but, you know, sell back used games and hopefully make a little profit of it? Or,
I mean,
or are there other places for people to go online maybe for that?
You can do it through Amazon.
That's right. That is correct.
And they got fairer prices, actually.
Really?
So, yeah, their prices are
a lot
better.
You know, I've never sold a game through Amazon.
Yeah, I've done it. It's great.
Yeah.
And it's easy. They give them the shipping label and boom.
And they give you money?
Yeah, and the UPS, if you go through UPS, it's free. But if you go through the postal service, you have to pay for it. I mean, obviously the next step is going to be mostly digital content. I mean, I prefer to buy digital content because it's just easier for me. It's just a matter of space, you know, storage space.
I think the only reason I like going to GameStop, for me personally, is that, I guess it has a lot to do with where I live. If I live, like, in the city or to a more metro area, and I'm right outside of New York City, but the area I live in is, you know, pretty quiet. You don't hear any sirens or anything on the podcast right now because I live in a pretty quiet area.
Blah, blah, blah.
Pop, 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 pop. I'm going to get that Black Ops 2, son.
Yeah. Get on board.
But nah. So, like, when I go to GameStop over here, will you try to do your little hip-hop urban accent there?
Yep.
I'll need you to stop that there, buddy.
Album's coming out.
Oh, Lord. Your roots.
That's right.
When I go to GameStop over here by me, I know all the guys there. You know what I'm saying? Like, so every time I go in there, I end up staying there for a good 30 to 45 minutes because they just end up yapping at me for that long. And we end up getting in intense debates about whatever game, about whatever rumors. And it's just cool to have that quick camaraderie. And maybe we need more gaming groups like that out in areas, especially in metro areas. Like, I know New York City has a lot of different gaming groups that meet up and stuff at I guess, I won't want to say, like, your mom-and-pop video game stores, but, yeah, you know, like, your home, not your non-GameStops that sell an assortment of older games, and they always have, you know, tournaments for old-school games. Like, hell, they, like, we were talking about Killer Instinct earlier. They may have, like, a Killer Instinct tournament out of the blue.
That'd be great.
So I think we need more of those type of things popping up. I don't know, but I kind of do agree with you. I don't see it sustaining that much longer. The one thing they did say, like, remember when Steam had that big holiday sale?
Mm-hmm.
This past holidays? Steam made a hell of a lot of money on that, because, you know, it was like every hour on the hour they had new deals, and every day there was brand new spanking great deals. Apparently, GameStop was also selling the currency for Steam in their stores and was pushing a hell of a lot of currency for them. And on the flip side, I think Steam was also promoting that, hey, you can buy this at GameStop, because GameStop is, you know, realizing that a lot of people don't have credit cards, especially these little youngins out mm-hmm. there in the world. They don't have debit cards and credit cards. They just find it easier to, you know, go in some cash, bring it in the store, buy them a card, and, you know, they're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
God knows, many years ago, I've done the same. I think when I tried my hand at World of Warcraft and what was that other Heroes game they had? What the hell was the name of it? It was Villains, City of Villains.
City of Villains, there you go.
When I tried out City of Villains way, way back in the day, I mean, that was, shit, how long ago was that? That was at least a good 7-8 years I probably played that. That I used to go to the GameStops and buy the currency there, and then that just made it so much easier for me when I was, you know, younger and everything. Outside of that, I mean, is there any other things they could do, Jesse, to really keep that shit afloat other than go totally digital online, like you said? I mean, we've seen other companies do that. I mean, you know, didn't Circuit City go online, and then what was that other tech store? CompUSA.
CompUSA's dead.
CompUSA back in the day that went online. I mean, they're not doing that great online.
It's one of those. It's like the business model thing, right? Like, you build your entire business on this one model, and then you have to shift it, but so much has been built on the previous model that it can't make the transfer. This is what I learned in a one business class that I took for prerequisite.
Here's our college education coming in handy.
That's right. So I don't know if they can make it, you know? It's the same thing with, like, the newspaper companies, like them trying to do all digital, and it's just like they're still losing money.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. And, you know, you try to compete with Steam. Like, if they're
Steam is great at their deals, so.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, once again, the ecosystem idea. Steam is an entire ecosystem, and everything functions through there. Same thing with PSN and Xbox.
Once that Steam box comes out, that's going to change a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Especially places like GameStop as well, yeah.
It's already turning heads, so.
It's going to be a game changer. I agree with you with the whole ecosystem. And, you know, I think GameStop try to make that whole ecosystem. I think they have, like, their whole power-up rewards, like, online section and crap, mm-hmm. and nobody really uses that crap. You don't even want to know how many points I have on that right now. I've never redeemed anything, because none of it looks enticing to me. Ooh, I can get a Darksiders 2 t-shirt. Yay. Whatever. Like, give me, like, a free game or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just whatever.
I think they'll die. I don't think we'll see them for a few more years, but I don't think they'll
I think these next 2 to 3 years will be telling for them.
Yeah. And
as these systems really evolve and mature a little bit after they come out, it's going to be really telling if they can survive that much. And, you know, maybe they could turn themselves into a Gamefly or something,
mm-hmm.
where they're just renting out games and stuff. Because Gamefly is still, you know, making money. Mm-hmm. A lot of people I know either like it or hate it. Me personally, it's whatever.
I canceled my subscription, but not because I hated it. It was more like I just don't have this time to keep
up on
this.
Yeah, that's what it came down to for me as well. The games took too long to get to me, for one.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't that long. I mean, it may take like 2 or 3 days, but it was just too long for me. In a world where we're all instant everything,
mm-hmm.
I did not want to wait 2 or 3 days to get a new game that came out.
Pony Express.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that combined with what you just said, time, I was like, whatever. I'll just go buy the damn game. But yeah, that's all we got. And, you know, with that said, we want to hear back from all you lovely listeners. We want to hear what you guys think about the future of GameStop. Do you still go to GameStop? Do you like their lovely trade-in programs they have there? You know, hit us up on Twitter. You know, I'm at JDubeous, JDubeous. Jesse's at Destroy Superman.
That's right.
And we want to hear from you guys. Like, let us know what you think about this. You know, you can even shoot us emails. You know, find us on the site. Talk to us. And speaking of talking to us, I just want to touch on something before we close out the show this week. We're going to start something new coming up soon with our Twitch TV channel and our YouTube channel. If you go to twitch.tv/GameTyrant or you go to youtube.com/GameTyrantCO, you can find both our channels there. But we're going to start doing live shows here and there where you guys can talk to us. We want to hear back from you guys. And maybe even potentially some of you people can come join us on this podcast. It's all done from the, you know, from the comfort of your home on your webcam. All you need is a headset, we ask, so that you can have a good mic so we can hear you and the lovely people can hear you too. But we want to get some more feedback from you guys. We want to hear what you like and what you don't like. But that's coming soon, so keep on the lookout to our Twitter feed for that stuff. And like always, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/GameTyrant. You can like us on Twitter at twitter.com/GameTyrant. You can sign up for the Geek Tyrant Daily Newsletter at geektyrant.com/daily. Don't forget you can subscribe, I can never talk today, to the lovely Game Tyrant show on iTunes. Just search for Game Tyrant there. And we're on SoundCloud and Stitcher Radio as well, so you search Game Tyrant there. We're all in these other places, so you can find us. Don't forget to check out our other podcasts we have going on. We have the Multitap, we have Gaming Disassembled, we have the GeekTyrant.com Soundtracks podcast by Mick Jost, where he's talking about movie soundtracks and everything. We have a lot of content we're trying to get out to you people, so we want you guys to listen to us, and hopefully you enjoy it and give us some feedback. But until next time, this is the Game Tyrant Show. And right now, to close us out, we're going to close it out with some more Devil May Cry music. This particular track is from Lilith's Club. And that's about it. You're listening to the Game Tyrant Show.
Boom.
Holla.